all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Good morning.
It's
or afternoon. It's
your evening or middle of the whatever. It's early call time. I'm Andrew. That's JJ.
Hello.
We have a very special guest with us this
morning. Who is prepping her super, super sugary coffee.
Steve, do you want some coffee with your sugar?
Yeah. It's so early.
It is
10:15.
Some crews are taking lunch right now if they're shooting on a Sunday.
Or they've already taken lunch.
They're home. We have Maggie with us.
Hi, guys.
Welcome.
Hi.
What is your title? What do you do?
So my title is television coordinator. I work at a below the line agency called Worldwide Production Agency.
No. Oh, I never knew what WPA stood for until right now.
I just found out.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
What is a below the line agency?
So we represent producers, production designers, directors of photography, editors, such as JJ himself.
Oh.
Yep.
Look at you.
Yeah. Jeez. Costume designers. Lots of everyone who's below the line of like the executive producers and the director and the writer.
But you guys do have clients do some directing as well.
We do, yeah. Lots of the DPs, cinematographers, whatever you want to call them. They do direct.
Do you have anybody that's just a director, or are they all like,
no,
they do something else, but they direct?
We have lots of clients who want to only do directing, but...
That's everyone, I think.
But, cool. It's great. I mean, when I first interviewed, I was like, I didn't know what below the line meant. I thought it was about actors who were like just side parts, but no, I love it because it's the people who actually make the product. It's not the people who just put their name on something.
Yeah,
right.
That's very true.
Yeah.
How did you get into being a coordinator for WPA? Like, did you come from somewhere else?
Yes.
Where did you come from?
It's been a long run. I went to Columbia, major in film and political science, actually. Yeah.
Pretty rad.
Yeah. That's impressive. That was 2011, and now it's 2015, and I have my first, non-temp job. I interned everywhere. I started at a PR firm for very indie films in New York. I interned at Sony Pictures, I helped with like Lifetime movies.
Nadav used to work on Lifetime movies.
Really?
Yeah.
I was like the person who would read the tabloids and be like, oh, this is a great story for like a Lifetime movie.
Right.
Where else should I go? I don't know. I've just done lots of production assistant type gigs. I worked on The X Factor.
Nice.
Yeah. Doing the auditions on Long Island.
Are you from New York?
I'm from New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, the reason why I came out to LA was like when I was working on The X Factor, APOC, the assistant, whatever.
Production office coordinator?
Yes.
Yep. The APOC.
Was like, oh, come out to LA. Like The X Factor, like we'll hire you and you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And I was like, awesome, great. Like, let me get in my car and drive to LA. And then the first day I came here, The X Factor was canceled. So,
that's amazing.
Oh. I'm sorry.
That didn't work out.
Wow.
But
I guess I'll go back home.
Yeah. No, it was good. I signed up with the temp agency, which I highly recommend if you're just out here and you need any work.
Is it an entertainment? Is it like an Apple One or is it?
Yeah, it's Volt.
Okay.
Yeah. So they got me a gig at I worked at Caps Payroll for a while. They pay like the below the line people. Mm-hmm. And then I worked at CBS, and that was my most recent gig. So I worked in finance.
Cool.
Yeah.
What made you decide to work in the television and film industry?
Yeah, good question.
You're smart.
It was my junior year, and I was majoring in political science, and I was like, I'm going to go to law school. I'm going to be in, like, the foreign service, like, you know, save the world, whatever. And then I just got really, really bored and kind of, like, apathetic and pessimistic and, like, who even – nothing's going to happen. And and I was like, let's watch TV. And then my film class, they were like, yeah, this is actually, like, a thing that people do where, like, you're in the industry and you can make money and, like, you can turn sort of your hobby, your passion into a job. And I was – that was, like, mind-blowing to me that, like, people actually, like, do that. And they don't have, like, a TV program at Columbia, so it was just, like, it was one lecture in one class that was, like, about TV writing, and I wanted to be a writer, and then realized I wasn't really that creative. So I was like, how can I work with people who are creative but not be, like, have the vision, sort of? And then so I worked in finance at CBS, which was lots of fun. I worked in overhead finance, so it wasn't even like production finance. Overhead is like everything that's not production related. So like,
oh, like the
water
offices?
Refills. Paper that you buy from Staples. Yeah.
So you're FedEx. Overhead for a business. Right.
Oh, it's terrible. No, I mean, it wasn't terrible. I was tangentially related to, you know, TV. So I was like, whatever, this is great. I'm on the lot. Like, I'm passing like Brooklyn Nine-Nine filming, and I'm passing Parks and Rec, and I was like, this is like where I want to be, but this is like not where I want to be in the network.
Sure.
So it's tough for, I mean, the economy like really sucks for people graduating right now, like who know pretty much what they want to do, but there's no like openings.
Mm-hmm.
There's no like direct way to just work somewhere. So I had to sort of go to a network, but not in the place that I wanted to be, and sort of go horizontally.
Right.
That
makes sense.
Yeah.
Does it make sense to you, Jake?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Well, it's like when I was working at NBC.
Yeah.
And seeing the network side of things, mm-hmm. and going, oh, I wish I was over there.
Yep.
And then trying to find my way to get there. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then they tore down your office, and so now.
Yeah. What's up with that? Andrew showed me a picture a couple days ago. The offices that I used to work in at NBC.
And that I used to work
in. And that he used to work in, completely, like, literally taken down to the pavement. They took...
Mm. It's dirt.
Yeah, it's...
It's dirt.
Was it terrorism?
No.
Yes, well, yes, it was.
It was ABC, like, did it or something.
Hollywood terrorism.
It's
because it's not an NBC lot anymore. Because we used to work on the NBC lot in Burbank. Man. Now it's called the Burbank Studios.
You know what? You know what's unfortunate is you weren't there or knew about it, because I would have taken like wood from it and saying this was the page department's.
My name tag was still on the ceiling.
Yeah, you had a meatball sandwich in one of the lockers.
You were a page.
I was
NBC.
A page. Yeah.
Yeah. I applied time in and time out, and I went once to an actual... Okay, there's a cat.
Frankie's sitting in my lap.
Pretty sweet. I went to, like, that audition thing that they do.
It's changed since I did it.
So basically, you have to audition, and you have to be, like, really enthusiastic, and, like...
It's like going in for a game show, I've heard.
Yeah. And you have to bring, like a poster that you made or something that's, like, represents you or something. It was terrible.
What the hell? What is this, freshman orientation?
I know. No, it was, like
hazing.
It was, it was ridiculous. And then I didn't even get hired, so...
Was that New York or L.A.?
New York, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little different out there. It's different out here. Whatever.
So, as a coordinator, Maggie, mm-hmm. to get back on the train, if you will, what do you do in a daily daily basis?
So, the television department is two agents and then me. Okay. So, I am constantly answering the phones. I coordinate everyone's schedules. So
is this awkward?
You look like a...
You look evil right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, Dr. Evil. Mm. Just petting. Okay. I coordinate everyone's schedule. So all of our clients, like when they... when we... Basically, we submit clients to a job. Mm-hmm. And then they'll let us know who they want to meet with, and then it goes through us. Sometimes producers like to call the client directly, and that's like a huge no-no that we get very angry about.
Is that because of a commission thing?
Yeah, well, it's more like we put you up for a job. Like,
right.
It goes through us. Yeah, so I'm constantly like calling clients, and like asking like, okay, can you meet on Tuesday at 3:30? And they're like, no, I can't. And then, you know, going back to the producers, coordinating schedules. And then also I do a lot of the accounting. So whenever we get any checks, for the client, from production, we process it. I keep, records.
I don't know. She won't get off my lap.
She's like, pay attention to me.
Yeah.
So a lot of accounting. And then also just like seeing, like right now it's pilot season. So it's like I'm working a ton, and pilots are getting ordered. And so when they get ordered, we have contacts at every studio and every network. So we hit them up and say like, oh, are you covering this project? And then we submit to them. I'm always logging the submissions, cause we have to follow up every few days. It's a lot of moving parts.
You have to be pretty well organized too.
Yeah, and it's only me. So so if like if we don't follow up with something, like that's from me chopping the ball. So it's kind of high pressure. But no, I love it though. Because I've had jobs where like I'm at CBS, but I'm not actually like doing anything about production.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually like when something gets ordered, like I'm the person who's like talking to the actual executive in charge.
Yeah.
I'm like, I had that like access, which I didn't at all, before. It's really cool.
Yeah. It sounds pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, you get to meet a lot of the people, I'm sure too, that, I'm assuming that being a coordinator is not where you want to be eventually.
Right. Yeah. It's not an entry level position at all, but it's definitely not the end. I want to be like the executive in charge of a show.
Oh, nice.
Like, production executive. So I'm sort of like figuring out like, do I want to be at a network or a studio? Like, what's the difference? Who starts different things? And do I want to be in development or do I want to be in production? But definitely. I'm for the first time, I'm like actually on the path to that job.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
Finally.
Yeah. Only took me like 4 years after graduating. Yeah. To be on like the first step. agents are, I think that you should have them on this podcast because they've all.
Well, I wanted to start with you.
Well, yeah.
And then go from there.
Because they have great stories, and like Brian started out like as an intern, and then like he did the training program. Like, he's been where I've been. They've both been where I've been, so they're just very understanding,
which is good.
Yeah.
Well, Brian's a younger guy, so he's not like 60 and completely removed from where
he's
you
got,
come
what is,
from.
What they say is he's got his fingers on the pulse of things. I don't know.
It's what they say, though.
Yeah, I don't
they
know.
Say
who's
it, yeah.
whose pulse is this?
Who is they? I don't know.
We should get they on the podcast.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you don't. I mean, when people are thinking about agents and they're not in the industry, they're probably only thinking of agents for actors.
Yes,
I don't even think people think of agents for writers and directors, really, if they're not. In the business. So.
I didn't even know that editors and like production designers had agents.
But then you're like, well, how else do they get the work?
Exactly.
I mean.
Word of mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
people they know.
Yeah, people they know, which is hard. But also, even if you know the people that you know and you know that you're going to get a job, they will get you an amazing deal. Like, they will get you way more money than you would have asked for. Like, because you don't have to say it yourself. Like, I want, like, a car allowance or, like, I want a kit rental or whatever. They already are on it and they know, like, oh, this first season you gave him this, so, you know, you're going to give him more or whatever. Or, like, something similar. Like, they just... they push for you, like they're on your behalf. They'll get you the best deal. They get some great deals.
Well, it's nice because then you have somebody, you know, fighting for you, and you can focus on the job.
Exactly.
Because now, you know, you don't have to be worrying about other stuff.
Yeah, and like, a lot of our
Maserati's not going to be here till Tuesday. I hate my life.
Like a lot of our editors, like they're on projects right now, and then when they're done with that project, they already have another project.
Sweet.
Yeah, JJ. so they don't even have to worry about, like, you know, there's a downtime and, like, they have to call the people and get your resume out and whatever. Like, we're on it.
I need an agent.
Yeah. Well, it's fantastic.
And they also, like, for example, if you have to travel or something like that for work, they will make sure that you get, like, the best accommodations.
Oh, yeah.
And that you don't have to worry about it. So I can't wait to travel for...
When you have to travel to Burbank, tell me.
No, I love it. And I'm also thinking about maybe being a line producer because they, first of all, I really want to sit down with a line producer and ask what they do.
We had one on a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Oh, did you listen to
I
that
I did. But I want an agent, like, eventually. Because they get some sweet deals.
Yeah.
It's true.
They travel a whole lot.
They travel, yeah.
Most line producers I've met, if they're working in LA, it's like the first time they've worked in LA in years. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, this is amazing.
It's rare,
I'm not in a motel in Toronto for 8 months or whatever.
Yeah, we get lots of calls for like Toronto locals or like New York locals. Or
do you guys have clients that don't live here? I mean,
yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah, we have lots of European clients too.
Really?
Yeah. Also,
it is worldwide.
This is true. And
come
also,
on, Andrew.
But also,
I don't have any clue what you're talking about.
It's not just TV. Also, like we have a film department and we have commercials.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So commercials, like, they're huge in Europe.
Right.
And so all of our clients are, like, you know, like, they travel everywhere.
Are there, like, as a, you know, like a production designer, are they doing something different? I mean, is a production designer for a commercial different than a TV? I mean, is it a different skill set? Or like
it kind of is. I mean, you'd have to ask them, but I know that we put someone up who had primarily done commercials and it was completely different to like sort of think about like how you're gonna do multiple scenes and like multiple I don't know you'd have to ask them but it's definitely a different world but we have a lot of overlap clients who do who will do like a commercial for like 2 days and then go on like a job for like 6 months so we have a lot of clients
That's cool.
Just in general. But yeah, our commercials department is really big. Is our biggest.
Is there any, like, seeing this side of it and kind of what these clients do, were there any things that you went like, oh, that's something I didn't know was a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Like anything specifically interesting?
I did not know really what cinematography meant.
Oh, okay.
It's a lot of technical stuff that I still don't really understand, but I had no idea, like, different filters and different, like, cameras make different, you know, lights and I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
And which I still don't, I mean, I love, like, hearing from the clients, like, when they come in, like what the particular problems were with one camera or like one scene or something. Yeah, our clients are great. They're all like very much like real people. Like I feel like if I were working in an agency with actors, it's very much like actors are kind of always on.
Yep.
And they're always sort of promoting themselves.
Yeah.
And production designer DP is like, they're all like, we're just regular people.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
Well, do you have any advice to for anyone trying to get into the industry or, you know, they're moving to LA and they're trying to find a job?
Oh, yeah.
Since you had a little bit of a struggle, maybe you can, you know, shed some light on that.
Yeah, it's a struggle. when you get out of college, don't be afraid to move home.
All right.
Nice. It takes money to live in LA. It takes a lot less money, actually, than New York. I would recommend LA. I would recommend LA, especially if you want to do production. Like, LA is way better, I think.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more sunny, and
it is.
You can go outside more. Yeah, temping, I highly recommend it. Just because, even if it's not, you know, CBS production, you know, I was still like at CBS, so I would be like, oh, like, let me take the production assistant out to lunch or whatever. Like, let me, you know, like, talk to the executive assistant to the person who I actually want to work for, you know? Like,
right.
Just making connections, especially with other people your age. That's really good. I've been to, like, a few of those mixers, which are always very weird, very awkward.
I've never been to one, but there are a lot of them.
You want to go to one?
Nope.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
All right. It's the best when you're unemployed and you're like, oh, you have a job? Hey, like, let me talk to you. How can I get a job? And, yeah, it's just a lot of, like, talking to other people and, like, seeing what their story is. But, but yeah, it's tough because I hate to, like, schmooze and I hate to, like, I don't know. It's something weird about, like, promoting yourself, but you kind of have to do it.
Even if it's just in a roundabout way of just showing up and talking to people, not specifically
it's
being like, here's my card.
Right. Like being like present. Like,
right.
If you're just the weird person who's like always there, they're like, hey, what are you, you know, you can, we can pay you to be here instead.
Yeah.
But
come on.
She has advice.
Yeah.
Sorry. When I was first getting a job as a cat.
As a cat.
Yeah, because it's like, then you're, you know, because one of the things I learned about being an assistant is, you know, you see the same names over and over again, and people jump around to different jobs, and you see their name on another email from somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you go to a mixer, even if you're not, you know, I'm a really good juggler and I can also answer phones. They're like, oh, well, that's two things we're looking for. And it's a clown agency for some reason.
Yep.
Those are the best kind.
Yeah. Then, like, you know, at least there's a face to the name.
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Yeah. Names are, like Frank and Brian, they know every single person. Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy. Like, I'll be like, oh, this is the executive producer. And they're like, oh, I like go to the gym with that guy.
Right.
Like, yeah, like I know that guy.
The same thing at Rain. John's, oh, I'll call him up. He's an old friend. We used to play Quidditch together.
Yeah.
when I met with Frank and Brian originally, Frank saw on my resume that I worked at Miramax for an internship. He's like, oh, you know, Wild Turkey. And I go, what? You know him? And yeah, it was like, you know, that was years ago.
Yeah.
But
this town's a lot smaller, I think.
Oh, yeah. It
people
really is.
Sometimes think. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is. And if there's anyone. Now she's just up on the mic.
Let's see if we can get her to purr.
I don't know if she's a purr.
Stay down. You're a cat person.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting your name out there.
How did you get the – I don't know if you mentioned this, and I was drinking hot chocolate when you said it. But how you got the actual interview for WPA.
What's it? It's like the tracking board.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are huge.
Yeah, it's called like the trackingboard.com or whatever, which you need a password. Ask your friends.
Yep.
They have the password.
That's how everybody gets it.
Yeah.
I think there's one
I've
guy
never paid for it.
Who actually paid
for
the password.
Yeah, exactly. And then he's just like – pass it on.
Are you on the assistance group on Facebook?
No.
There's a thing called Awesome Assistants, which people are always like,
awesome assistant.
Yeah,
those things are great. That's how I did it. Like, I didn't know anyone at WPA, which is so rare, like, especially in this industry, like, not having a personal connection to anyone.
Yeah.
Like, usually it's like, oh, my dad's cousin is an agent, and they got me the internship or whatever. And this time, like, I didn't know anyone, and which is so rare. I'm very proud of myself. And
you're the one person in Hollywood that pulled that off.
Yeah,
I think.
And I think it was just being in the interview and being very interested, especially in like exactly what they do. Because I've been in interviews where I'm like, I could care less about PR or whatever, but I just want a job.
Yeah.
But they could tell that I'm like actually passionate, and that I had experience in exactly what they needed, like payroll stuff, because I had worked in that, answering phones, whatever. And I'm just a smart person who, you know, can give my passion. And Brian will say, like, okay. There's just a cat.
Get off the table.
Just, he wants you to, like, make the effort.
That's Brian. I thought you meant the cat.
Oh, not the cat. Well, the cat is making a very large effort to be
sorry,
so even if you're not perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, that makes
sense.
No, it's
true. Like, just, like, giving a crap about whatever you're doing.
Yeah. Well, there's a learning curve to everything.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
I don't know. I just asked how you got the interview.
Oh, yeah. yeah, no, apparently they had, like, asked everyone else if they wanted to be their assistant or coordinator. And
yeah, they asked me.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything about payroll, so that would not have.
Well, now we have a payroll assistant, so. Well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
how big is the whole agency? Like, is it pretty small? Even?
Yeah, it's rapidly expanding. We have probably, like, 20-something people.
Oh, wow.
Maybe less. I don't know. It's very small. But
it's a very nice office.
It's a boutique. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we are.
Do you guys have a Keurig?
I think we do. I'm not a coffee person.
We have an actual barista that makes.
What?
No,
that's ridiculous. Don't.
No,
you CBS people.
No, we have a Keurig too.
I do.
Yeah,
but you have a guy that runs it.
We have lots of food though, which I didn't realize. But like they stock the pantry every
it's
week.
Nice.
I know, and I like it's like Cole who like if I want like Cheerios, I'm like, hey Cole. Give me some Cheerios. And he's like, okay. It's not like, because I'm coming
right
from
call.
Like, I'm coming from like CBS where it's like every, like if you need paper or whatever, you have to like call a guy who then calls another guy and they're like, send the intern to give you paper.
And they have to
I'm
approve
like,
it.
Like, yeah. Oh my God. They all have to have approvals and like second approvals. And and this is just like cool. So I love being at a small place.
Now, this is going to be a stupid question, but this is a goal of mine for the podcast. We're trying to get somebody that's in crafty to be on the show. Now, that's not a union position. You're right. I don't know.
I think there might be.
I think it's just a woman with a toaster. Like, I think that's what crafty.
Okay.
No, it's more than that.
I had thought about like doing that. I was like, you just go to Trader Joe's, stock up, and then you're like, here we go.
That's what, like on smaller shows, and then when I did the pilot of Stitchers, they had, this guy has a trailer that's a full-on, it's massive, and it's got, it's like walking into a mini grocery store. He has an oven in the back, and you make chocolate chip cookies throughout the day and like bring them out and walk around. Like, it's a lot more. That guy was constantly working.
How do we get him on the show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's busy.
Those chocolate chip cookies.
He's making cookies right now. You need to walk around during the,
he should bring some cookies to us.
4 hours after lunch, he'd be walking around with, like, a basket of chicken wings and sandwiches, just wandering the set.
That's the best when there's, like, stuff running out at the end of the day when, like, everyone's packing up or whatever. I'm like, take that home.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Well, anyway. I'll talk to our crafty person after we blow up a house tomorrow.
That'd be sweet.
And I'll find out.
How is Stitchers going?
Good, we're blowing up a house tomorrow.
Nice. That's our producer. That's our DP.
Okay, so who all
That's
do you guys have?
That's our production designer.
Oh, Fred Andrews is yours?
Fred Andrews is
ours.
I love Fred. He's done an amazing
job on our show.
David Rozelle, the line producer.
See, that's who you got to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that David Rozelle. I love David.
He's great.
I put my headshot up in his office the other day when he was on set, and I'm still waiting for him to notice it.
He's
got all the cast headshots up there. And then,
like, when you worked at Rain, that was, like, who we were coordinating a meeting for.
Was David?
Yeah.
Okay.
David's
amazing.
And then Eduardo Mayen.
Right.
DP.
He's our DP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very trying cool. to get some editors on that. They didn't like our costume designer's mission, but, that's, like, going to be a whole, like, a WPA show.
That's
right. It's a WPA and a Rain show, I think, the two.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love Rain, by the way. I didn't know who they were when I first started, and I was like, why are other people talking to our clients? But you guys have Anthony Hardwick.
Yep.
Who's like one of my favorites.
He was a DP for a long time, and now he's directing.
Now, maybe we can clarify in this podcast what the difference is between a management company and an agency.
I would like that, too.
Wow.
Go. Okay, what does a management company do?
Here's how I describe it, and it's I don't know if this is because I asked the exact same question in my interview at Rain, like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was like, so what why do people need a manager? And mm-hmm. I think
the PC answer is
yeah. I can't answer this question without getting fired from mm-hmm. somewhere. No, I think management is a lot more like hand-holding and mm-hmm. sort of, I don't want to like talk down about the clients, but mm-hmm. it is like people call and they're having issues mm-hmm. with stuff, then it's, you know, help them out with that. It's a lot of reading scripts and mm-hmm. then, you know, giving notes and feedback. I did yeah. a lot of cutting reels for clients, mm-hmm. Building websites, mm-hmm. You know, that sort of thing. And then a big part of it is helping people to find an agent, or if they're not happy mm-hmm. with their agent, okay. you know, help navigating and finding a different mm-hmm. agent. So it's that. Sometimes it's like booking cars for people.
Yeah.
And still, a lot of times they have people doing that, but,
mm-hmm. but yeah, I would say that a manager is more like, should you take this job, like for your career?
Yeah.
Should you?
Yeah.
It's like giving their opinion versus agents are just like, here's a job.
Right.
Do you want it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's, yeah, it's kind of a therapist.
I don't know if that's true, but.
No, there is a lot of like that sort of thing yeah. involved I mean, in therapy and really yeah. it is.
I think a lot of like what our agents do that our agency is be managers. Like they yeah. will tell you straight up like if you should take this job or not. Or like if you eventually want to be in commercials, should you take this 6-month job or whatever?
Right. Well, a lot of the people that reign the agents that we work mm-hmm. with, I think operate like that too. Like yeah. it's almost like having a second man because they don't want to work with people that are difficult mm-hmm. or that don't really care. So I know that's why they like yeah. working with like WPA people as well.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of, I think they're calling Frank at least twice a day mm-hmm. for something.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah.
Wow. I should start calling Frank. I like
Frank's
Brian. But I mean, if everybody's calling Frank, I mean, why not?
Well, I mean, the managers are calling Frank. Oh, you need okay. a manager, which is oh. me.
Right. No. You have I offered just, that before.
So if you could throw 10% of your income mm-hmm. on me, that'd be super.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a funny story.
No, I don't know if I want to give you money.
It's fine.
Any more money.
I give you money every month.
That's true. It's different.
It's alimony. no, there's a writer on Stitchers that JJ and I know that mm-hmm. we'll have on at some point.
Oh,
but
yeah.
She,
that'd be great.
She is...
JJ Abrams, obviously.
Yeah.
Yep.
She is Chinese.
Sure.
She's Asian.
She's Asian.
That's the
but I'm, no, but I'm trying to think of... I think she's... Like China is the actual
country
she's from.
Specific.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And so she was talking to her mom about how she got an agent and a manager. And her mom was mm-hmm. like, what's the mm-hmm. manager? What are the agent? What do they charge you? Like, mm-hmm. how's that work? She goes, well, it's 10%. You mm-hmm. get 10% of your paycheck.
To each.
And her mom was like, can't you get a better deal? And she's mm-hmm. like, no. Like, well, that's I think it. You should shop around and like try and find a better deal. And she's like, no, you get 10%, like that's mm-hmm. the standard, mm-hmm. like that's how it works. She's like, and her mom just goes, oh, and then she hangs up the phone.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, it's a, I don't know.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
It's a worthwhile 10% to pay for,
mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
You know.
It definitely works out in the end.
Because you get more than your.
Exactly.
Yeah. Brian explained it to me as it's like an insurance policy.
Mm.
You pay the insurance when you mm-hmm. don't need it. And mm-hmm. so when you do,
yeah,
it's there.
That is such a Brianism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense to me.
Originally a Frankism.
It's possible.
Yeah, passed
it's
it
very
down.
Possible.
Maybe yeah. back at Paradigm somewhere they talked about that.
Yeah, they're like, okay, this is what you need to say.
Yeah.
There's so many Frank. Well, I was telling you before, there's so many yeah. Frankisms. Mm-hmm. He's great.
He's a cool
guy. Well, it's nice to have somebody on your behalf because, you know, it's Hollywood and everything. The shows get canceled or, you know, mm-hmm. political reasons come up and you don't get asked back. And
yeah.
it's like you're not by yourself then.
Mm-hmm. It's nice to have nice people on your side.
Yeah.
Because sometimes agents are not nice people.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Really?
It's so true.
What?
Listen, Entourage wasn't completely false. Mm-hmm.
I thought that
I'm
was
definitely the
completely
Lloyd,
fiction.
But, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Are you?
Yeah. They'll throw stuff
the gay
at me.
Asian
yeah.
man?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to like wash his car. No.
Do you have any favorite TV shows at the moment?
Yeah.
All of them your clients work on, I'm sure.
Of course.
Only
WPA affiliated. I mean, I'm a big comedy person, so, like, New Girl, like, I originally hated that show because I hate Zooey Deschanel.
All right.
And then it became about everyone besides her. Mm-hmm. I was like, but it's evolved, and I feel like it's like an ensemble comedy is like way more what I like, mm-hmm. and especially when like characters are like talking over each other,
yeah,
because it feels so much more natural or whatever.
That's so true.
New Girl, Parks and Rec, obviously is like my number one favorite show of all time.
Yep.
I was at NBC when that was being developed.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
I love that.
My,
I
just
love
my ringtone is a shotgun, by the way. I changed it because of Ron Swanson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, this is very recent that JJ has gotten into it.
Yeah, Maggie pointed me in the right direction.
I forced you into it.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's a good show.
Parks and Rec. Yeah. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is great.
Yep.
It's they're all Mike Schur related, or Dan Gore. Or,
yeah.
By the way, like when I was like first like interested in going into TV, I didn't know like who created stuff, like who mm-hmm. was the person who, like, why is it that I like this show? Oh, it's because it's Mike Schur's voice. Like right. it's, and I would go through like the end credits of something and be like, oh, this is the producer. Like,
yeah.
Like what else has that person done? Lots of IMDb, time just going down a rabbit hole of like Wikipediaing who produced, Girls, and then, they produced something else. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like everyone has done like so many, like a list of things. And yeah, once I found like, oh, I like this person, like what did he do to get that job?
Right.
You know, like what it, like where did they go to school? What did they,
yeah, if you kind of reverse engineer someone's career.
Exactly.
Like,
But yeah, I mean, TV is the best.
I got that way when I, like, when I moved out here, like, you know, if you're on a lot or something, you see like, oh, it's Jim Carrey's parking spot. Awesome. Uh-huh. And now, like when I started, when I was working at the Radford lot, CBS.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's Mike Schur's parking spot.
Like, I was like, now I'm Norm Hiscock. Like yeah, all exactly. these like random, like.
It's all the people that I'm like, yeah. you see their name in the credits. Yeah. Most people don't
I'm like,
attention.
Harris Whittles, what? Like Alan Yang, like Aisha Murr, whatever you say your name. Like all these people who are like, so not like the face of something.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, like there's Hell a guy Yang's named Tucker Porsche. Cawley who worked on Ray Romano's show, and they're, now he's doing the...
I saw Brad Garrett yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, at the Arclight.
He's a big dude, so he's hard to miss.
He was with some hot lady. I was like,
good for him.
I was like, ew.
I'm glad it's working out. Where you're like, hey, Brad Garrett.
I was like, ah.
And then he was like, are you Maggie from WPA?
Yeah, right.
Actually, are you Maggie from WPA? Yeah. Because he has a really low voice.
Nice.
Anyway,
what were you saying?
I don't know. Oh, I saw
Ray Romano's show.
Yeah, and this guy Tucker, who's now doing the Odd Couple thing with Matthew Perry, and I like saw his parking spot. I'm like, oh, that's a nice Audi that he's driving. I was all excited.
And I would see like the CBS like EVPs of like Glenn Geller and like all their parking spots, and I was like, what?
Do you ever look at what's his name's Bentley? Les Moonves.
So funny story is that when I worked at CBS and finance, overhead finance, we would get invoices for the washing of Les Moonves's golf cart, like on the lot.
He had a golf cart too.
Yeah.
Where does it park? I've never seen it.
But yeah, it was like $50 bucks a week or something. It was just like. I was like, this is some inside information.
Wow.
I mean, he made $66 million this year.
How much?
He was the top paid executive in Hollywood. $66
million. Mm. Wow.
Worth every penny.
Wow.
That makes me sad.
Why?
I just, everyone, like, what they make is just sad
inflated?
To me. Well, yeah.
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 But what if you made $66
million? I would not say that, though.
I would.
What if somebody was like, I'm going to pay you $66 million to be the coordinator at this agency?
Like,
would you be like, why? Yep.
I would be like, let me spread this out amongst other people who like are struggling and need money.
I'd only keep like $62
million. Well, yeah. Or like whatever I need to have like a nice life. Like,
sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do that money. I mean, I have.
I would buy lots of boats.
Yeah.
Like more boats than I'll ever need.
You would want at least 3 yachts.
That money would be gone in a weekend. I'd be in debt.
Vegas.
I'd be dead. I'd be dead in a ditch somehow.
That's true.
I'm sorry.
It's fine, man.
Because I was the one that killed.
I know. It happens.
Oh, boy.
Sorry for my rant about My no. socialist.
Money. No, no, it's okay. It's all right. Share the wealth. It's okay. In theory, it works. But yeah. Anyway, this isn't a political podcast.
No, no, no. Okay. I'm sorry.
Mitt Romney.
Really? He's going to run again?
I guess so.
Okay. We can stop talking about politics. I'm sorry.
Like you said,
he's a big sponsor.
Fred Andrews, production designer.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm just
I go to our
trying
set.
To bring it back.
I go to our set every day.
He's awesome.
And just because they haven't started shooting on our stages yet. They start tomorrow. Hmm. But that's one of the most fascinating jobs to me is the whole like look of and just watching a house go up inside of a soundstage.
He's,
and
he did Pretty Little Liars before.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is also produced by one of our clients. Like, there's so many different connections with, like, WPA where you're like, oh, you know, Lisa Cochran produced that, but she also produced, like, Ravenswood, which got canceled. And,
right.
And they're all Prodco, which yes. is, like, John Ziffer. Like, that's, you know, and Back to Rain, and yeah.
yeah.
They're all connected.
Everyone knows everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I like it.
Come to Hollywood.
It's like high school.
Yeah.
In my small hometown.
David Russell, will you go to the dance with me?
I love David Russell.
He's very. I told you about David Russell.
Did
JJ,
you?
He's the guy where I was like, if you walk in on a Monday morning and you'd be like, I was bowling this weekend. And he was like, I was bowling with Robert Redford in 1964. And we were completely high on mushrooms.
Great stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And an hour later, you'll look at your watch and be like, well, that's lunch. He's awesome.
We should have him on the show.
Yeah.
Do you think he would?
We're going to need another hard drive.
Really? Oh, man.
He could talk for days.
We could do
awesome.
Two-parters, you know?
He'd be a whole week.
To be continued.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you...
That'd be rad.
I mean, are you...
Yes.
Do you find anything?
Spit it out, boy.
What's your take on the fall of... No, you're just the clients' jobs in general. Like, is there any particular position that they're doing that you find super fascinating that... you know, you never even knew existed before. I mean, are there, because I think there's some jobs that people don't even think about, you know,
yeah.
a production designer. It's just, there's a set there.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're shooting in a real house.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they build one?
Yeah, no, I mean, breaking down like what each client does, like I had no idea that these things even existed.
Yeah.
Because I never was like an art kind of person, like artistic at all, where I like would want to be a DP or something. So I never really cared to find out what everything was. But now that like, we know my favorite client will call up and I'm like, how was my, one of my favorite clients is Bob Blackman, who's a costume designer.
Mm-hmm.
He did like the original Star Trek.
Wow.
Yeah. People are like writing a book about him right now. And
oh, that's crazy.
And like, I never really wanted to go into like costume designing, but I was like, send me all of your stuff. Like,
yeah.
I want to see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's working on Lumen, which is like a TNT pilot. They're in New Zealand right now. Yeah.
New Zealand.
He did Glee before that, which is like,
that's a switch.
Yeah. Yeah. I love like knowing like the inside Hollywood kind of like,
yeah.
This guy did this and then that's why he was on that.
It's always fun to look at somebody's resume and be like, oh, I watched that when I was like,
I know.
You
oh
know,
my gosh.
5 years old and now I'm working
great,
with you.
We have clients who are like the first AD on like Cheers.
That's
and I'm
crazy.
Like, what? Like, or like, we had a client the other day, or not a non-client come, who was, the DP for, Seinfeld, like all of Seinfeld. And I was like, we need to sort you.
Seriously. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very much like my childhood shows. Like, and they have like stories about like, oh, like one time Jerry Seinfeld did whatever.
Right.
I'm like,
well, you guys have, he was doing... He was a Rain client. He is a Rain client.
Tim Topolsky?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, good job.
Yeah.
Oh,
nice.
That was like,
nicely
there's
done.
Only, there's only a few.
I was super excited to meet
yeah,
Ken because he did the Wonder Years.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
And he did, and I used to binge watch Party of Five.
Yes.
And I told him, I was like, I really love Party of Five. And he was like, I'm going to go play ping pong because he's really big into... ping pong. He has his own
big
paddle.
Ping pong.
He carries it like a $300 paddle
yeah.
with him.
He is great. He is one of those clients who like will get scripts sent to him, like just like, we want you to produce this, like just an offer.
Yeah.
You know, like, he doesn't have to, like, meet.
That's
he's
cool.
Right now, he's in Puerto Rico doing Wrecked, which is a pilot for TBS.
Wow.
Good
for him.
And they're like, maybe I'll just keep you in Puerto Rico and give you another show. And, like, they sent us, like, a new script for him yesterday, actually.
Nice.
I was talking to Rob Wolfman.
Yep.
What?
It's funny you guys know the same people.
Yep.
And you're throwing these names out like I should know them too.
Mm-hmm. You know Dalip.
I know Dalip.
I like Dalip.
I do too.
Good guy.
Dalip.
He wrote an really elephant responsible recently.
For JJ coming to your agency.
Yeah. Yep. He's friends with Brian.
Dalip is what made it happen.
Dalip, I would love to have Dalip on the show just so he can talk about riding an elephant.
Yeah.
Because he...
because he got married.
He got married. And
well, then...
That's what you do.
That's what you do.
Well, it's a... what was it? A traditional Indian wedding?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was, like, donkeys and stuff. And,
that's awesome.
And...
I want a traditional Indian wedding. That'd be rad.
That'd be weird.
Well, when he found out...
Just you.
Maybe, yeah.
When he found out you were doing well in your career...
Yeah.
He wants a Porsche.
That's fine.
I'm just going to say.
I'll see what I can do.
Get him a picture of a Porsche.
I know exactly what I'm going to get him.
Oh boy!
A picture of a Porsche.
Is there an Indian Porsche?
No. I'll get him a Porsche.
All right.
I'll get him a Porsche.
Porsche.
I do too.
I'll get you one too.
I'll sell it and then get like 5 Priuses or something.
Sure.
I'm just going Porsche. Back to the politics. No,
okay. It's okay. I drive a Prius. It's all good.
Yeah.
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 It's nice. I like it.
Gets good gas Shout mileage.
Yeah. Okay. Sponsored by Toyota.
Yeah, right. No, I turned mine in, actually.
Your Prius?
It was too expensive.
What?
I know. But then now I have a car, and I'm, like, paying more for gas. And I'm like,
Oh. Yeah, I don't think I'll ever get rid of mine.
Ever?
I got a bad deal, though.
Did you?
Why. Yeah.
I mean, I'm leasing a sucker. Mine.
Like, I just went into a Toyota, and they were like, 5 hours later, I was like, here, you have a Toyota. And I'm like, oh, how did this happen?
Wow.
I shouldn't go into car dealerships.
You should just hang
out with a car.
I have a friend, my friend Dave, his grandfather was like 90, and he took his car in for an oil change.
Yeah.
And they ended up selling him a new car.
Yeah. No,
and he still paid for the oil change.
Like, was like, I had a nail in my tire, and I was like, and then 5 hours later, I had a new car. Instead of like paying for one tire.
That happened to me yesterday. I had a nail and I had to get a fix, but I went to the tire place.
Well, that makes more sense. To the Prius place. Yeah.
It's a little cheaper.
Shut up.
Than buying a whole car.
Yeah.
He got a brand new Buick, man. But I love that he still paid for the oil change of the car he didn't even keep.
Oh, that's amazing.
People like, don't tell you like when you're an adult, like financial stuff.
No.
I never had, like, someone explain to me, like, what a bank account was, what, like, a stock is, and, like, how you shouldn't...
I remember my first job, I got a paycheck, and I took it into the bank, and I was like, I'd like cash, please. And they were like, actually, you can, like, leave this with us and have access to the money later. And I was like, what?
What is that?
I don't understand.
How does this work?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how that happened. Do you have any tips for people that are moving to L.A.? Who don't live here?
Sure. I lived with my aunt for about 6 months, rent-free.
Here
in the Los Angeles.
Live with Maggie's aunt.
If you're coming to LA, have an aunt already here.
Okay.
All right.
No, it was just, stay with friends, like, until you can, like, actually afford stuff. Just cutting corners and being very thrifty.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. Like, when I was still in New York and I was like, I need to come to LA, I was like, I need a job already to, like, come to.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized, like, you don't, though. Like, as long as you have, like, enough money to, like, make it, like, a month or so, like, you will find something. If you, like, pound the pavement and, like, you don't just, like, sit at your computer and be like, oh, here's a resume, here's a resume. Like, because people get 800 resumes for one job. Like, you have to, like, know someone, or I don't know.
Yeah.
No,
that's true, though. It's hard to get a job when you don't...
When you don't live here.
Live in a place where you can go and interview.
Yeah, and you don't know anyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have lots of friends who are like, I'm coming, but, like, I need something out there already. I'm like, no, like, that's never going to happen.
Yep.
Unless you're, like...
Very rare.
Unless your, like, father is, like, Bob Iger, like, chairman of Disney.
Yes.
Like, you're not going to have...
Made $44 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I know that was an article that I read yesterday?
And, like, just take a crappy coffee shop job. Like, you know, like, as long as you're, like, here and then you're, like, going towards something, like, you'll find something.
save money.
Yeah. Ask your friends how they did stuff.
A lot of people that say, oh, well, I'm not going to do anything but XYZ profession. Yeah. The people that I know that did that are now living in Indiana.
Yeah.
So
under a bridge.
It's good advice to just get out here, and you're going to meet people. You're going to become friends with people that are doing the things that you want to do, and they'll be like, oh, well, we need somebody to help us. And then that's how your
But it's also, start. I know when I was with NBC, one of the things they said is if when you're applying for jobs on the NBC website, don't apply for just everything, because then they see that you don't have any focus. You just want some. So it's like, it's kind of a slow process. Yeah. Like you have to do the all kinds of internships in random departments.
Yeah.
And then sort of narrow your focus down, and then start sadly taking those things off your resume where you're like, I did that for a year and I hated it. Now I can't even use it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, eventually you find that focus.
Everything is temporary too. Like even if you have like a really crappy job, like, you know, like it's all temporary. You're going to do something else later. Like it sucks for right now, but you know.
Yeah. You're going to get there, JJ.
You're going to get there one day.
It's hard right now.
But yeah. Oh God, that NBC careers website. Bane of my existence. All of the networks like have those websites where you just like can give your resume.
Yeah.
And then like I would get like one call from like Warner Brothers, and I'd be like, which job is this even about? like what is this even in regards to?
I once applied for a job at Warner Brothers and I didn't get it.
Yeah.
But they sent me a letter, which was amazing because most places you never hear anything.
No, never.
And I worked for Starbucks for 8 years.
Nice.
And they were like, we can't give you this job, but there's an opening in the barista. Starbucks in guest relations at, and
I know some lovely people that work at those Starbucks.
So do I, but I didn't want to be one anymore because I'd done it for 8 years. But anyway.
You've done it.
I've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you know how to make a good cup of coffee, that actually helps a lot in this town.
But yeah, I remember going into Warner Brothers. This was like the week before like WPA even called me in.
Mm-hmm.
And and I was interviewing for like the assistant to like the SVP of DC Comics or whatever. Like,
wow.
And it was their merchandise. Like,
oh, cool.
And I was like, this is something I'm like, I mean, I'm a huge comic person, but like I would never like care enough to be like so into it and give like 110%. Like I am like where I'm actually passionate about. But yeah, when I got the call from Frank that he doesn't know this, but that I had gotten the job, I was on my way back from an interview at E/Esquire Networks.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
And I was interviewing for to be the assistant to like the CFO.
Wow.
And I was like, why am I even here? Like,
I worked in like, though.
Worked in like overhead finance. They were like, yeah, you're definitely qualified. And I was like, I've done like 6 months of temp work, but yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So I worked at MTV for 5 months and I had three different bosses who were all like, one was a development executive. She's now like at True TV, like VP of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And one was a production management person, and then one was post-production, and they're like all three different departments, but like with one assistant. And this was my first job out of college.
Was this in New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
And because I had interned there.
Oh, nice.
And they like called me back. They're like, you're a person that we know, like you can do this job. And I was like, oh, okay. And then just like it's just a volume of things coming at you and you have no skills. Like you realize like, yeah, I've answered a phone like in my private life, but I've never like taken an actual message or like sent an Outlook invite or like, you know, like, but I would go home at night though. And I would look at like YouTube tutorials on like how to
do
Excel
calls.
And like how to, you know, and like, it was fine because, you know, I would just hustle and like learn stuff on my own rather than being like, yeah, I definitely know this. I would be like, I'm learning this currently, like when I'm not at work, so that I can do stuff. You know, like people don't have to know that you're
right.
Yeah. So
I'm after they hire you, it's like too much trouble to fire you and bring someone else in.
God, with
it's
HR,
faster
at Viacom,
to just teach you.
Definitely.
Were you in like Times Square? Like
old TRL building. Yeah.
Wow.
Material.
Yeah.
I've never been to New York as an adult.
That's adorable.
I know. It's adorable. We should go after this.
All right, let's go.
I love New York. All right. I heart NY.
Do you? Would you live there again?
I do, no.
So how much do you really heart it?
I heart it for like 1 week
okay.
at a time. No, it's just, I don't know. It's just too many people. Like I went in December to like visit my family and I was like, when can I leave? Wow. I was like, this is just too many people. Why is everyone going so fast? Why is everyone just slow it down.
Were you in like the suburbs of New Jersey or were you like right across the river?
Yeah, Montclair, which okay. is like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Like everyone who like works in New York lives there. So it's like, yeah. it's very much, no, I was like in like, yeah, I like went back to Columbia and like saw my friends and stuff.
Cool.
But yeah, I was just like, slow it down. Like wait for the next light, you know, yeah. like, don't run me over. And
I'm walking here.
I'm walking here. And then just coming back to LA and everyone's like, whatever, man, I'm going to stop at this stoplight. Like,
yeah.
which is bizarre to me that you guys don't walk on a red light.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's true.
I've gotten tickets
before.
If no
one's coming, you're good.
No, I understand. I'm worried about the police that I don't see mm-hmm. that are going to give me a $115 ticket.
They're
terrible.
No one in New York cares. I never waited for a crosswalk signal.
Exactly.
I
don't
well, there's too many people.
And I forget all the time when I'm here.
Yeah, like the cars can't win. The people will kill the cars.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, there's too many people on the island. The
bus
the cops
hits
are like,
pedestrians, bus dies. That's the headline because...
yes.
There's too many people walking.
Duh.
That's good.
Did you watch the New Year's Rockin' Eve?
I was there. I went to bed early, remember?
Oh, yeah. Is that part of it?
I went to bed at
11:30. I was babysitting. So.
We were in a cabin in the woods.
We were.
What?
No one died.
No one died.
That was good.
Yeah,
did
we went.
The water did,
fireworks?
Though.
Fireworks?
Nope.
Okay, well.
We went to a cabin. Sometimes the nice cabin. Thing about LA is getting out of LA.
It's true.
Yeah,
so we went to a cabin and yeah, up in the mountains and
like the movie.
There was snow.
Starring Andre Benjamin.
Yep, that's exactly what I think about every time I think of Idle Wild.
Really?
Seriously, yeah. Mm-hmm. I never told you that.
I think about sledding.
We did sled.
We did sledding.
Yeah. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. I got really frustrated that they couldn't make a fire for a while.
Man, but you pulled it off at the
I
end.
Did.
You even got an applause at the dinner table.
I did. The three people that were sitting there.
Including you.
Including myself, yes.
There was a snowman outside.
Yeah. It was a good time. But thank you for being on the podcast.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry.
Thank you for having me.
I'm sorry that you had to wake up so early.
I know, yeah.
Are you going to go back to bed after this?
Absolutely.
I hope you enjoyed the coffee.
Yes, I'm still awake, but...
Eventually, we're going to have early call time coffee mugs to give to our guests.
Oh, I would love one.
Yeah.
This is an early call time, man.
10?
It's like not, though. It's just because it's pilot season, and I'm like at work at like in the middle of the morning. Like, it's just so
What time do you start work?
9:30.
Crying out loud.
This is not early.
But then I leave at like 8 or 9 or something. So like,
yeah, so do I.
Okay.
And I get to work at 8:30 and I leave around 8:30.
I work like 10 to 6.
Yeah, but you get a lot of money.
I'm just
You're
saying.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, but,
I wrote your deal memo.
Oh, nice.
I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. I get up early too.
Okay.
You do.
That's all.
Sorry. And you are compensated extraordinarily well. Mm-hmm. You're wearing a gold suit right now. Made of gold.
Gold teeth.
Yeah, it's very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's too heavy.
I need to lay down.
Are you excited for your episode?
I am excited.
Mm-hmm.
It airs on Monday, which, mm-hmm. well, when
do we,
this
Do we
airs.
Talk about your show on this show? I don't know if we do or not.
Sometimes.
On the show.
We talk about Scorpion.
Okay.
Scorpion.
Yeah. Sometimes.
I never know. All right.
Now, I would like to tell you a little, because, you know, this is like an open forum.
Sure.
Originally, the episode that I worked on was supposed to air on the AFC, after the AFC Championship.
During the AFC Championship.
After the AFC Championship.
Commercials.
Mm-hmm. it was supposed to air after.
Right.
And they switched the schedule.
Mm.
So,
the, you know who
the episode
you need to blame
I worked
for that?
On was what?
Your agent.
Les Moonves. Oh, okay.
I should blame
your agent. Your agent botched that deal.
That's true.
You don't call your boss and be like, you idiot, SOB. No, you call your agent.
It was,
like,
it was a
CBS
deal.
It was a CBS thing. They wanted
Jeff
the,
Henry.
They
VP
wanted,
of Post.
They wanted a different episode for Sunday. Something.
One that's not
different.
J.J. Geiger.
Yeah.
Well,
they were like, we upset. Don't want this guy.
No.
They don't want to get rid of all their good stuff too soon.
That's,
yeah. That's what it
I didn't
is.
Want to peak early,
no.
as they say.
Mm-hmm. You're going to peak at the end of the season.
Yeah. And nothing else is going on for me. So.
Show's gonna get re-canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, we're getting season two, bro.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I said re-canceled. They're gonna be like, never mind. The editing on that episode was so terrible.
Like, who's this guy?
Just kidding. Someone literally comes in and pulls the plug from your computer.
This is like your nightmare.
It is my nightmare.
But you get to meet Les Moonves that way.
Oh, that's
because he's the one that pulls the plug.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
He does all those firings personally.
All the plug pulling.
He slaps them.
He comes to their office. Mm-hmm. You can't be here anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yoink.
Leslie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well.
Sorry.
I'm working on a wonderful episode right now, though.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
It's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Explosions.
Are there scorpions in the show? So I've only seen the pilot.
So you've done your research.
I gave up. But
well, you're not really the demographic.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Our grandparents are the demographic.
Mm-hmm.
The scorpion is.
It's like the team.
Yeah. And they're little scorpions.
It's actually the band Scorpion, and they solve crimes.
We use it in the third episode. We use
songs.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is our theme song, and then they would play.
My dad watches it every week. He said on the phone, he said, "I'm still really liking that Scorpion." Really liking it.
I'm glad that he
enjoys. While he's drinking from a Scorpion mug.
I gave Andrew's father a Scorpion mug. Season one Scorpion.
Yeah, he
mug.
Was like, "There was something in it. Was this like a gift?" And I was like, "Yeah, you got the JJ gave up.
He re-gifted.
His gift.
I gave my gift you. Because he enjoyed the show."
Yeah.
He was one of the first people to actually talk to me about it and show interest. So I was like, you know what, Chuck?
Chuck.
This is
That's my dad's name.
It's your name too, buddy.
It is.
Anyway.
Cool.
Gosh, we're just burying this podcast into the ground. Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Listeners, thank you for listening.
Yeah. If you're still listening.
If you didn't shut it off.
And yeah, it's been great. I feel like super important.
You are.
I was like, am I really like enough to take up an hour?
Like the next time you check into a hotel, you're gonna have to use an alias because otherwise,
Use Seymour Scagnetti. I've heard that's a good one.
Seymour Scagnetti.
Do you love when the hacking thing happened and then they like released everyone's aliases?
Oh yeah.
Did you see that?
Tom Hanks's.
Yeah.
What was Tom Hanks's?
I forget. But they were great though.
Yeah.
They would use like they would use like the names
Thomas
of
Henry.
Like a character that they played or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, or a literature character.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to start doing that just to do it.
Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah.
I'm JJ Geiger.
I'm Tom Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to have a credit card with that name on it though?
Probably.
How does that work?
Well, if you're a celebrity, they're like, whatever. You can do whatever you want.
Hey, listen, this isn't my real name.
I don't know if you ever listened to early call
ever heard
time.
Of Tom Hanks.
But
oh, we're talking about this. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cool.
Groovy.
Yeah. So listen next week where we'll have a wonderful guest. I don't know who it's going to be.
They're wonderful, though.
Yeah, they are wonderful.
Yeah.
No, actually, we're going to be recording with some people from Ridiculous, the MTV show. Yes, that's right. See, you're doing your job.
Mm-hmm.
And
unlike us.
Yeah, unlike us. No, but cool. It's going to be a good time. And Nadav will be back.
Yeah, I missed him.
Yeah.
Well, you missed his voice.
Never met him, but yes.
He's in Joshua Tree right now.
Yeah. I'm not going to say what he's probably doing, but we'll see you guys later.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.